Net.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
So how are you on this Tuesday morning, May 2nd, 2017, on the Feast of St. Athanasius in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Faith? Good to be with you. A great show lined up for you, as always. Louis Brown back with us to give us an update on what in the world is going on with health care and how does it affect you and me as believers in the Catholic Church. He will be along to take your calls and your questions. And just to give us an update, he's recently on a couple of the pro-life TV shows on EWTN, and he's really a great resource. And I'm just so excited that he's out there representing the Church and doing such a good job of raising awareness. So he joins us at 15 minutes past hour. I believe he was on Pro Life Weekly either last week or the week before, if memory serves me correctly. And then we're going to talk about Our Lady of Fatima. Can you believe the 100th anniversary is upon us? Of course, we know our very own Jeanette Bankovic is going to be going to the United Nations, as she mentioned on Friday in our interview. And by the way, there's a beautiful story about her visit to the UN on EWTNnews.com. So if you're interested in learning more, check it out, EWTNnews.com. You can also go to the archive section of Catholic Connection through AveMariaRadio.net and listen to the interview with Jeanette. And then, of course, she'll be talking about it on her show, Women of Grace, as we get closer. But I'm just so excited, not only for her, but the fact that Our Lady is going to be at the UN, first time the statue's been there since 1952. Anyway, getting back to my original point of mentioning that, is Greg Daugherty is going to be talking to us about raising awareness regarding Our Lady of Fatima. And let's see, what was I going to say? Oh, yes, this is exciting. Congratulating our longtime EWTN radio partner, Covenant Network, on their 20th anniversary. Wow. Starting with one station in the St. Louis area, they've grown to 40 AM and FM signals throughout the Midwest. Congratulations. So, again, our congratulations to Covenant Network on their 20th anniversary. Proud members of the EWTN radio family. It really is phenomenal if you look at the growth of Catholic radio over the past 10, 15, even 20 years. It's just amazing. It really is. Thank you, Mother Angelica, for saying yes. All right, it is 3 minutes past the hour. Again, Louis Brown and Greg Daugherty, plus you on a Tuesday. Let's get to the news because there's a lot of it, and I want to give plenty of time for Louis to take your calls and your questions this morning. Details on this particular story also on EWTNnews.com this morning. More than 50 members of Congress have written President Donald Trump asking for a broad executive order that protects religious freedom. And according to one of the signers from Illinois, freedom to follow one's conscience, faith, and deeply held moral convictions is the heart of our country's identity, so says Representative Randy Holtgren from the good state of Illinois. House Republicans recently sending a letter to the president asking for an executive order that could protect the religious freedom of various entities. They're saying they're writing to express their encouragement and support for prompt executive action, ensuring religious liberty protection for all Americans, and looking forward to working with the president on legislation. Religious freedom advocates have warned that due to a number of mandates and rules issued during the 8 years of the Obama administration, religious institutions that uphold traditional marriage or do not cooperate with abortions and contraception could soon face federal action if no executive order is issued to protect them. As I mentioned, on the day before, or one day before the May 13th celebration, marking the 100th anniversary of the Fatima apparitions, a statue of Our Lady of Fatima will be visiting the UN. May 12th, by the way, will mark the second time this particular statue has been to the UN, the first being back in 1952. Among the presenters at the UN is our very own Jeanette Bankovic, founder and president of EWTN's Women of Grace. Jeanette telling the Catholic News Agency, Our Lady came to the world through her apparition to the shepherd children, the 100th anniversary of which will be celebrated the following day. She comes again to remind the people of the world that the message is the same, that peace and hope and solidarity are possible through heaven's plan. On May 13, 1917, three shepherd children named Lucia, Jacinta, and Francesco saw a vision of Our Lady of Fatima, who was dressed in white and holding a rosary. The apparitions lasted through October of the same year and brought messages of prayer, repentance, and reparation. In other news this morning, President Trump says he would consider meeting with the North Korean president.
If it would be appropriate for me to meet with him, I would be honored to do it. If it's under the right circumstances.
Trump making his comments to Bloomberg Monday in an Oval Office interview as tensions continue to rise throughout Northeast Asia over North Korea's nuclear threat over the weekend. The president saying he would not be happy if North Korea conducts a nuclear test, but he did not elaborate. White House spokesman Sean Spicer saying the president is pleased, meanwhile, about increases for border security and defense spending in the new spending deal.
We have an opportunity to get some of the president's priorities infused for the last 5 months of 2017. That's a big step forward and something that he'll continue to fight for in 2018.
The measure extends government funding through September, averting a government shutdown. The measure does not allocate money for Trump's border wall, and it does not make cuts in Planned Parenthood. Spicer said the president expects those things to appear in the 2018 federal budget. The House and Senate voting to approve the measure this week. Hamas is removing its goal of destroying Israel from a new policy document. In the first new policy document since its founding charter, Hamas declaring for the first time a willingness to accept an interim Palestinian state pre-1967 boundaries while still not recognizing Israel. It also says Hamas's fight is not with Jews, but with what it calls occupying Zionist aggressors. U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos says her first few months at the helm of schools nationwide has been a challenge.
It's been like drinking through a fire hose.
She also says while not giving up on public schools, she is still an advocate for more school choice with charters and private schools.
Even the best of schools don't necessarily meet the needs of every single child in that school.
And she says she wants to keep investing in those schools to give parents more choices for their children. She stresses the department will not give up on public schools despite the views of her critics. The head of United Airlines on the hot seat in Congress today. He and other airline executives will talk about customer service during a House hearing. United has been under fire after a passenger was hurt while being dragged off one of its flights recently. United said the man's seat was needed for an airline employee. The CEO apologizing, and the airline reached a settlement recently with the injured passenger. Meanwhile, New Jersey's senators, as Ethan Harp reports, are backing a bill they say could prevent airlines confrontations, such as the one that left that United passenger hurt. Ethan Harp reporting from yesterday afternoon's news conference at Newark's Liberty Airport.
When you buy a plane ticket, you do not surrender your entitlement to common decency.
Senators Cory Booker and Bob Menendez say the Tickets Act would guarantee passengers the right to fly if they're cleared to board the plane and pose no danger. The bill eliminates the $1,350 cap on compensating flyers who get bumped.
Overbooking causes over 500,000 ticketed travelers to have to change their plans every single year.
Menendez doesn't think limitless compensation would mean higher fares.
It shouldn't be a cost shift to passengers. It should be a cost consequence to the airline and their bottom line.
Postpartum depression is one of the most common complications of childbirth, affecting as many as 1 in 8 women these days. Psychiatrist Samantha Meltzer Brody of the University of North Carolina says it can also be simply devastating.
It can impair mother-infant attachment, which sets up for a lifetime of increased mental health issues in the child, less sensitive parenting, marital discord. The mother is at risk of suicide.
But the doctor also says mobile technology can help women with postpartum depression like never before. She's developed a free research app compatible with iPhones and Android sold in the U.S. and Canada. She says anyone with a smartphone will now be able to screen for postpartum depression, be referred for treatment, and take part in a research study that will hopefully lead to new treatments for postpartum depression. Richard Jordan reports on Angie's List, which is now merging with HomeAdvisor to form a new publicly traded company.
A representative from HomeAdvisor confirmed the news Monday night. The new company will be called Angie Home Services, Inc. and will continue to match homeowners with service professionals in the $400 billion home service market. HomeAdvisor CEO Chris Terrell will take over as CEO of the new company, which will now be based out of Golden, Colorado.
A last-minute agreement is averting a Hollywood writers' strike. The Writers Guild of America and the TV networks have been negotiating their current contract, which was set to expire at midnight. The two sides reportedly agreed to a three-year deal. And New Jersey twins celebrating an amazing coincidence. Daniel Grant and Kim Abram, born a minute apart, have given birth to baby boys on the exact same day. The 32-year-old women both had to be induced after their matching due date. April 22nd came and went. And get this, a mathematician says the odds that they would give birth on the same day are about 8 in 100,000. Not a great story. Nice little upbeat pro-life story. It's just about 11 minutes past the hour. It is a Tuesday morning of Catholic Connection. Good to be with you. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. And speaking of twins, if you'd like to get a little sneak peek of the new twins in our family, my grandnieces, Francesca and Liliana. I have their six-month photo that I posted with permission of their parents, my godson Andrew and his beautiful wife Erica, on my Facebook page. And they're quickly becoming Internet sensations. Thousands of people have already seen the photos and commented. And I do that not just because I'm a great auntie and really proud of them and their parents, but to make a pro-life statement, they were really miracle babies. It was a high-risk pregnancy, and they were born 3 months early, and they are just thriving, and they are identical. I still can't tell them apart. We saw them on Sunday, and I walked into the house, and my nephew was holding Liliana. He said, guess which one it is? And I said, Francesca. He said, nope. Getting better. But anyway, they're just precious, and life is indeed beautiful. We'll be right back.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Hello, this is Dan Dimite
and Patrick Rice, and we are the co-hosts of Encounter Radio, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission.
Encounter Radio is the show where the supernatural becomes natural and where you are encouraged and equipped to live out your calling every day in boldness and power.
You can now hear Encounter Radio on this Ave Maria station every Sunday at 2 p.m. That's every Sunday at 2 p.m. and online at encounterradio.org.
St. Augustine's Edmund Campion Players presents Shakespeare's Hamlet at the U of M's Lydia Mendelson Theater on Friday, May 5th and Saturday, May 6th at 7 p.m. Tickets and questions are available through their website, campionplayers.org, or campionplayers@gmail.com. That's campionplayers.org or at gmail.com. The play's the thing, wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
The Connection is 14 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday morning. Phone lines are open. Lewis Brown from CMF Curo on the phone. And I was teasing him because he was on Pro-Life Weekly, and he didn't tell me. And I said, next time he doesn't tell me, I'm going to call his mother. I love his mom. I met her last year. Beautiful lady, and you can see why the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, don't let me come after you and call your mother again, Mr. Brown.
No, thanks, Teresa. No, I appreciate that.
How'd it go on the show? I didn't get a chance to see it.
It was a good discussion. I was with an attorney from Alliance Defending Freedom, and we just had a very good discussion about the dynamics around health care, the right of conscience, religious freedom, and what's going on, both what's happened over the last several months and what we see going ahead.
All right. So there's been a lot of discussion lately, as a matter of fact, the Vice President commenting on it also about health care coming up again. It could be very confusing depending on whom you listen to. So what can you tell us from a Catholic perspective that we should be aware of with health care?
Sure, sure. I think there's a couple things. So first, you know, we have the Affordable Care Act, and that's the law of the land. It has been for several years, as everyone knows. And there has been an effort by this presidential administration and the majorities in the House and the Senate to look at repealing a significant part of the Affordable Care Act and implementing a new system that would really improve our American healthcare system. I think what's laudable about this administration's effort, and I have said this in numerous forums, is that they are seeking to focus our healthcare system in this country on the patient and not the government. The way that the Affordable Care Act was set up is everything was centralized around Washington. Everything was centralized as to what bureaucrats and what politicians believe was best for patients, doctors, employers, physicians, etc. But we need to look at what's best for the patient and what is truly healthcare. As Catholics, the foundational issues are really threefold. First, that we protect the sanctity of life, that we protect the gospel of life, and further that from conception to natural death. We all know that. It's also about religious freedom, religious liberty, and making sure that that's present within our healthcare system, and also the preferential option for the poor, that we look at each public policy question and say, how does this affect folks in this country that are materially poor, that are the most vulnerable? And so those are all very important questions. But at the same time, I think we have to look at what's the alternative. The alternative to what this administration, thankfully, is trying to do, which I'm very supportive of. This administration is attempting to have a patient-centered, market-driven healthcare system. The alternative to that is one that could potentially be single-payer, but that I think would be disastrous for us as a country in terms of our quality of healthcare, but most especially for the issues that are most near and dear and morally foundational, such as the right to life and religious freedom. If you look at what's happened in Europe, where they do have a single-payer system, it has been disastrous for protecting life and protecting the culture of life.
You know, so people were upset, many people, and depending on where you're, some people in terms of the public sector were upset that the health care wasn't passed and that the promise from the Trump administration, they accused it of not being, accused him of not keeping that promise. And yet, from a Catholic perspective, I would think, based on what wasn't in there, it's a good thing that it didn't pass.
Yeah, I think that's very. I think that's a difficult question. You're talking about the law from, the attempt that they made a few weeks ago,
right?
Back in March.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think again, the legislation was not perfect, and I think that's something that there's a lot of prudential issues there that were of a concern to many folks. But at the same time, I think it was a step in the right direction. Especially in that it was very strong on the life issues, in terms of making sure that we have what we know to be called the Hyde Amendment, effectively applied, to the tax credit, saying that no public funding for abortion can be used. Also the fact that, it was doing, a good job on defunding Planned Parenthood, making sure that that was in there. And I think those things will be in this bill as well. It was imperfect legislation a couple weeks ago. I think this will be better. This will be improved in some respects. But the alternative to doing nothing and keeping the system that we currently have and what we currently had is just not acceptable. And this is a unique moment we have. We really have this opportunity because what may come if it doesn't get done right could be pretty disastrous.
We're chatting with Lewis Brown from CMF Curo, 877-573-7825 at 20 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday morning, 877-573-7825. Now, Lewis, you met with the president before the last vote on health care. Is CMF Curo going to be going back to Washington to meet with any members of the administration anytime soon?
Yeah, so I'm in D.C. as we speak, and we will be meeting with folks on Capitol Hill, in the House, in the Senate, staffers, senators, to continue to talk about health care, and that's very important. We realize that, you know, legislation is imperfect. This legislative effort, I think, is a great step in the right direction, but it's, you know, nothing's perfect, and these things can be improved upon. But the Catholic voice is absolutely critical right now as folks trying to get their heads around these fundamental issues about how do we deal with the Medicaid population that's very much in need of medical care. How do we deal with folks that are currently in the exchanges that are very much in need of medical care? How do we deal with folks that have pre-existing conditions or more catastrophic conditions that may need to be in what's called a high-risk insurance pool? So we're looking at all of that. And we also want to make sure that health-sharing families, hundreds of thousands of individuals who are a part of health-sharing and doing health-sharing with CMS, Care, Samaritan Ministries, and other ministries, making sure that they're protected in any legislative package. So we, you know, I think the way to think about this health care bill, whatever may be voted on this week or next week, is that it's not the end, it's just the beginning. It's really just a start to go in the right direction of undoing all the damage that the Affordable Care Act has done, generally within the market, where you have, you know, a third of all counties in the United States where folks just have one plan to choose from. That's not choice. Those aren't options. It's not really meaningful access to care. But we have to improve on it. We have to make sure the poor are taken care of. But that's going to be a long haul. It's not something I think we can absolutely fix in the short term.
I always thought it was so ironic or hypocritical for those who say they're so all about, choice, and then to limit choice when it comes to health care.
Sure. No, I think that's right. I mean, you know, for way too long, we have limited our understanding of health care to be health insurance. And just because someone has an insurance plan on a piece of paper doesn't necessarily mean they have true affordable access to care. And the key is care. And you see that focus occurring somewhat with this administration, and much better than past administrations, where they're saying, we want to make sure people can get care, whether it's through a health savings account, whether it's through tax credits, whether it's through a high-risk insurance pool that the state sets up, and making sure that folks have access to care. And so we have to move away from the way that we've been doing things. We have to make things a lot better than we have in the past. And it's going to take a long effort, but I think that we're at a start. And again, I can't stress this enough. I saw, I was mentioning to you briefly, I saw the new documentary on St. John Paul II, and his impact on the political sphere in Europe during, you know, before his pontificate and really during his pontificate. And you see what happens when different nation states attempt to remove God and put the state as the center, mm-hmm. the government as the mm-hmm. center of everything. And I think I think we should support this administration's effort to make the person, the human person, who is the icon of God, at the center of our healthcare system and not the government. Because if we fail to do that now, I think we can see what's happening, where the government is held up above all else, and that's not healthcare. That's a different form of a governing system that I think we as Catholics just know isn't the right one. You know, the person, the icon of God, should be the center of our healthcare system. Really, the Lord is the center of our healthcare system at the end of the day. But you know, I think we'll see what happens, and reasonable minds can disagree on some of these things, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, and also that old saying, you know, those who forget history are doomed to repeat it is very important. And I always said, when I first heard all this discussion with health care and the HHS mandate many years ago during the early days of the Obama administration, I said, this has nothing to do with health care, and it's all about government control and turning our government into God, which is exactly what you pointed out that was brought out so beautifully in the documentary on now Pope St. John Paul II. We have to take a break, but we have a really good question from Mark from Jacksonville, Florida. Mark, if you could do me a favor and hang on during the break, because we want to give you plenty of time to flush that out with Lewis. And if you have a question regarding health care and the Catholic faith, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. 7825. It is a Tuesday morning, chatting and catching up with Lewis Brown from CMF Curo. And I know you're keeping folks up to date on your website, Lewis. Where do we find you?
Sure. It's mycatholichealthcare.com.
All right, mycatholichealthcare.com. Also, this will be a lot of fun. After we chat with Lewis, we are going to be checking in with Greg Doherty. And thanks to our friend Tom Gray at EW10 for giving us this idea. Rowing for Fatima. Raising awareness about Our Lady of Fatima and then rowing for Fatima. How cool is that? Greg Doherty will be joining us at 39 minutes past the hour. And don't forget, you can ask many, many questions of our guests. We always welcome that. Or you may email me. If you can't call in, maybe you're at work and you can't call in or you're busy, just go to ttomio@att.net. That's my email. And I'll try to get your questions on the air as well. We will be right back to wrap up with our friend Lewis Brown and Mark from Jacksonville, listening on Queen of Peace Radio. You are up next, my friend. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hello, friends. This is Father Patrick from the Archdiocese of Detroit's Office of Evangelization, wishing you and all yours a happy Easter. You know, friends, when the early apostles saw that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, everything changed. Can you imagine the joy that they experienced when they saw the risen Christ? All their hopes and dreams, a life lived in the love of God, a life lived with the joy of Christ who filled their deepest desires. Can you imagine the joy they experienced when they saw the risen Christ? Brothers and sisters, that's the joy Jesus wants for us. And that's the joy that Jesus wants us to share with the world. I want to invite you this Easter season, get busted for being joyful. Let somebody ask you, geez, you're in a good mood. Why are you in such a good mood? And let them know, it's Jesus. It's the joy of Easter. He is alive. And I want to invite you to consider purchasing a subscription to the Michigan Catholic for yourself or for someone you love. Visit themichigancatholic.org. It's a great way to keep that fire of divine love going in your heart. God bless you, friends.
Hi, this is Jeff Thede with Mother and Unborn Baby Care in Southfield, Michigan. We've been helping moms choose life since 1984. Our spring fundraiser is set for Thursday, May 4th at 5:30 p.m. Come out and celebrate with us at the San Marino Club in Troy. Our keynote speaker is clinical psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi. You heard him right here on the radio. Now come out and see him live and in person. For more information, contact me at 248-559-7576.
Hi, I'm Dan Weingartz. Join us for our 72nd anniversary sale going on now through May 6th. Our family has been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment for your lawn since 1945. Our experts will help you choose the right product from top brands like Steel. From legendary chainsaws, dependable trimmers, and powerful blowers, a Steel is designed for reliability and built for the long haul. Visit us to see the full Steel line or see all of our anniversary sale specials at Weingartz.com.
Weingartz! Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Mark from Jacksonville, thank you so much for holding. We are chatting with Lewis Brown, CMF Curo, and Mark has been holding patiently. Mark, go ahead. What's your question for Lewis?
Yeah, thank you, Lewis Brown and Teresa Tomio. Just, I 3.5 years ago, because of the Affordable Care Act, I ethically could no longer have health insurance. And so what I wanted to ask Lewis was, with what's going on right now with this whole idea of pre-existing conditions, which was previous, you know, to the Affordable Care Act in order to have insurance. Now I have health, Christian health sharing, which is a real beautiful way to help one another as Christians.
Yeah, I've heard about that advertised on different conservative talk stations.
Yeah. Right. And so what my question is whether it's Christian health sharing, which relieves us of the penalties from the Affordable Care Act, with pre-existing conditions, it allows that health insurance business to run their business. And what my question is to Lewis is, isn't it utopian to think that we're not going to have pre-existing conditions
so businesses, health insurance businesses, can run their own business the way they see fit. And then for these catastrophic things, having like a catastrophic insurance plan in order to pay for that end of things with insurance.
Okay. Let's let Lewis attempt that and answer that question, which I'm sure he can. Lewis?
Sure. Yeah, no, and I appreciate the question, sir. I know that the goal of this administration and the secretary and Speaker Ryan has talked about it, is to ensure that issues around folks that have pre-existing conditions continue to be dealt with in a way that they're not discriminated against by health insurance plans because of those pre-existing conditions. There's legislative language around that to essentially continue to solve that in the market. It's a little bit different from how the Affordable Care Act deals with that issue. But the end result, from what I understand and what I have studied and come to know with regard to this bill, is that we have a continuation of the ability for folks with pre-existing conditions to have access to medical insurance in a different way, through a different mechanism, so that we don't go back to where we were before before the ACA. So that's what I see going forward, where the end result being that within the market, folks that have pre-existing conditions are still not discriminated against, but there's a different mechanism that we are talking about that. The other thing to realize is I heard an amazing comment from a gentleman who's actually, I believe, went to school at Cranbrook, Ulrich Roy. He's a well-known healthcare policy expert. He talks about the number of people in this country that have pre-existing conditions that would block them out of getting any medical insurance at all is less than 400,000 people. And so those 400,000 people need to be taken care of, very much so. And maybe they go into a state-based high-risk insurance pool, and that's something that this administration, this Congress, is also talking about. But the point being that no one's trying to leave anyone, in the lurch or out to dry. That we want to take care of folks that have pre-existing conditions, continue to make sure they have access to coverage, a little bit of a different way of doing that. But I also think that the population that we're talking about is a lot smaller than a lot of the press would have one believe. And so, we have to take care of the vulnerable, and part of that is taking care of folks that are extraordinarily sick. That's not something I'm actually worried about. I think that the end result will be that the market will continue to give folks that have pre-existing conditions access to medical care.
Okay, thanks, Mark. We have a couple of other calls, and we also have some emails that came in. Let's go to Marvin, who's been holding on line 3 from Scranton, Pennsylvania area. Hey, Marvin, what's your question for Lewis?
Well, first, I want to thank both the moderator and the speaker for taking my call. I listen on 98.9 FM, and I have a couple of questions. The first one is, I was wondering, since the health care plan or whatever plan we have is going to be servicing folks of all faiths, I'd like to know how you reconcile the fact that you would like the health care provided to all faiths and all folks to conform to your particular religious viewpoint. I should mention that in our town at one time, 2 out of the 3 hospitals were operated by Catholic institutions. And so automatically those hospitals were operated according to the tenets of the Catholic Church.
Okay, we only have 4 minutes left, so I'm just going to interrupt you, Marvin, because I want to make sure that Lewis can address, because it's a fair question. But just so you know, and you say you listen on Catholic radio, so I'm not sure if you're Catholic, maybe you are. But when we talk about the universal truths of the Catholic Church, they're universal. The Church is universal. The truths are universal. The teachings that we have in the Church are not just meant for Catholics. They are good for everyone based on the dignity of the human person. Whether you are Catholic or Jewish or Protestant, abortion is not a good thing. Birth control is bad for people. It's harmful. So when the Church has these universal truths and we work to apply them, it is for the good of all, not just for Catholics. But I'll let Lewis address that more specifically in terms of health care. Lewis?
Sure. And I think when we're applying Catholic teaching into health care, I think the way that we approach it as Catholics, the way that the Church approaches it, is that, folks, there's been a longstanding agreement within the United States by folks that are religious and non-religious, folks that are Catholic and non-Catholic, Christian and non-Christian, that there should not be federal funding of abortion. That's been going on for decades.
Right.
And so that basic fundamental tenet that one can get to and support the prohibition on funding of abortion, even if you're not religious, you can get to that point and support that. Even if you're completely secular, there's ethical and moral reasons why folks say, hey, that's just not health care. That's something that, sure, that's a Catholic belief, but that is becoming an increasingly universal belief across the folks of faith or no faith at all. The same thing around religious freedom. That was something that we were founded on as a country, to say that whoever you are, wherever you are, you have the right, especially within the healthcare context, to practice medicine, to care for people, to serve people, and to love them in the ways that are consistent with your conscience and ways that are consistent with your faith. So when we talk about Catholic healthcare, well, we're not talking about imposing Catholic social teaching on America's healthcare system whatsoever. What we are talking about is various basic principles enshrined in our Declaration of Independence and established in our Constitution, the right to life, the right to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's really what we're talking about, not imposing Catholic social teaching whatsoever, but having principles consistent with our
founding, universal truths. But that's to the opposite effect, though, because what the Obama administration did is they said that you can't have your beliefs have to be our beliefs, and you have to pay for them. So to sit there and say that we're trying to conform the world to Catholic teaching is inaccurate, because you just described why, even though our truths are universal. But what they were trying to do on the opposite end is to force us to follow their beliefs, because that's what they say is what people are supposed to believe and do. So, Marvin, hope that addressed your question. Sorry you don't have time for the other ones. We have to take a break and get to our next guest, Lewis Brown. Thank you so much. The website again for CMF Curo?
It's mycatholichealthcare.com.
All right, sweetie. Thanks. Good to talk to you. Keep up the great work. And we will be right back. Rowing for Our Lady of Fatima. Great story. That's coming up.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
Holy Spirit Roman Catholic School is the number one elementary school in the Diocese of Lansing in language arts and mathematics. Their children pray every day. Located off US 23 south of Brighton, take exit 55. Holy Spirit is founded on the belief that they must educate the minds, bodies, and souls of children through faith and academics in accordance with the teachings of the Church. Tuition rates are very affordable, and their teaching staff is top-notch. Come see them at HolySpiritRCS.org.
Looking for affordable Catholic health care? Look no further. CMF Curo is the only Catholic health ministry which provides an established health care program, spiritual growth opportunities within Catholic community, and unique wellness programs and health tools. Plus, it is half the cost of many insurances. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com or visit cmfcuro.com. CMF Curo, it's my Catholic health care.
We are in the Marian month of May. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Anniversary coming up and so many things happening in honor of Our Lady of Fatima. 877-573-7825. This is a really cool story to raise awareness on Fatima. And thanks to my friend Tom Gray down at EWTN in Birmingham for passing it along to me and Andrew. On the phone with us is Greg Doherty, who's actually been on with me before. He reminded me, and I knew the name looked really familiar because he is an author. of some wonderful books. But right now he's talking to us as a president of the Covenant Diocese, Blue Army, for the Diocese of Covington. And this story is amazing, Rowing for Fatima. So please explain. And you're really going across the Atlantic. Seriously?
That's right. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Ave Maria to you and everyone.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, we are planning a rowing expedition to row from New York to Galway this summer. It's a 3,000-mile trek across the North Atlantic in order to, well, really to promote the message of Fatima as God's peace plan for the world. And it's fitting that we're doing it during the Jubilee of this, you know, year for Our Lady of Fatima. And this will be in the spirit of St. Brendan, without question. So, and certainly.
All right, so fill us in on St. Brendan, if folks aren't familiar with him.
Oh, St. Brendan the Navigator. He is a 6th century monk who is a mystic. Incredible. He established monasteries in Ireland, and it was actually the center of education for all of Europe at one point. And but St. Brendan was filled with the Holy Spirit and felt called to put together an oxhide skin sailboat and throw 20 other monks on the boat with him and set sail into the North Atlantic, not knowing where the Holy Spirit was going to guide them. And so they really, they just allowed the Holy Spirit to take them. And it's believed that they ended up in North America.
Wow.
And there was a fellow that actually replicated the boat and did the same journey. And amazingly enough, there are petroglyphs in West Virginia that have ancient Gaelic writing, and those petroglyphs are dated, believe it or not, to the 6th century. So Christopher Columbus actually used his voyage before setting sail, and it was published, St. Brendan's voyage was published in the 9th century. So Christopher Columbus had access to that. Really incredible.
All right, so here's the reporter in me. I got a gazillion questions. Okay, so how are you doing this in terms of training? How many will be rowing? What kind of a boat? Will there be help? I mean, I have to ask all these questions. My mind is just
absolutely, and it's amazing. It really is.
I mean, I'm thinking of this feat, and I'm like, wow, what a great thing to do to raise awareness. But boy, there's a lot of work involved here.
A lot of work, and only with the Holy Spirit is this possible. It was November 8th, Election Day in the morning. I'm in adoration. And that was the state of this country and our nation was heavy on my heart. But I really felt that God was hearing our prayers. And I opened up Psalm 76 in the Douay Rheims version, and it said, "My way is in the sea." This is God speaking. "And thy footsteps will not be known to man." And it was just put on my heart.
Mm.
And I was involved in some ocean rowing. It was really part of my conversion story. But that was in 2008, and then I found myself in an ocean rowboat. So after reading that, I said to God, I said, "If you save this country into a rowboat and row from New York to Galway to Ireland this summer," and I'll tell you, I put an ad in a very small Catholic newspaper, it's a biweekly paper in Ireland, looking for a devout Catholic willing to endure the harsh conditions of the North Atlantic in honor of Our Lady. And Danny O'Brien responded right away. And he serves for the Irish Air Force. And Danny does extreme kayaking and does all kinds of things, runs ultra marathons, very fit. And so he and I had partnered together. And then shortly after that, I got an email from Gerald Sargent. He's a Royal Marine who has served 11 tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, has climbed Mount Everest, swam the English Channel. I thought, these guys are perfect. It's an answer to prayer. And so we went just before Easter to meet in the UK for 10 days of intense ocean rowing training. And so we spent 10 days on this ocean rowboat together, and not a single complaint. I mean, very rough conditions, difficult. I mean, you're sleeping on the boat, you're eating on the boat, you're learning how to navigate, and the rowing itself is exhausting. I mean, it's hard work. And so these guys are trained for these kinds of conditions, and they're all in. So right now we have a boat in Vancouver that was actually built to go into the Arctic. It's called Arctic Jewel, and we're still raising funds to purchase the boat, so we need some help with that. And we have a CrowdRise campaign going on right now, crowdrise.com/rowing-Fatima. for-fatima.com. So,
all right, give us that one more time, Greg.
Yes, it's crowdrise www.rowingforward.com, /rowing-for-Fatima.
Now, how much coverage have you gotten outside of the Catholic media? I mean, is there an interest? This is a great story, period. I would hope there'd be interest with the secular media as well.
Oh, without question, there will be. I think, Teresa, as a reporter, and you know, I think once we get the boat and we actually get it in the water.
Yes, you have some video you can share with them, right, some interviews. Okay, now here is, let me put out the phone number, because I know I'm sure people have lots of questions, as do I still, 877-573-7825. Now, often when you see these types of events, maybe there is a swimmer who's trying to break a record across the English Channel, there's always a safety boat that is following behind. Will you have that as well?
No, this will be what you would call an unsupported independent row. And we will, though, we'll have all the technology where we'll be able to be tracked and in the event of an emergency. And so Danny, serving for the Irish Air Force, the Irish Air Force is going to be tracking us, 1,000 miles into the Atlantic off the coast of Ireland. And certainly our Coast Guard will be aware of where we're at. And so, but this will be what you would call an unsupported row.
Well, unsupported by human effort.
Absolutely, that's true. We will. Somebody said this will be the most crowded boat ever in history, and that, you know, right away we have the three of us, and then you, of course, have our Blessed Mother. You have the Holy Trinity, then you have all these angels, you have all the saints, and then you have all these Catholics, devout Catholics, who are supporting.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, when we go to Mass, we have the whole community of saints right there with us, and all of heaven descends. So it's going to be kind of not quite the same, but certainly it's going to be the idea of the community of saints with us in the boat, absolutely.
Oh, this is so cool. Now, you're going to be, I'm sure, recording this, right? I mean, getting some video.
Oh, yes. All right. We'll get video. We'll have, now today's technology, we'll have some pretty neat stuff. What do you call them? Go cams and that sort of thing. And so, we'll have all
Hey,
that.
Can we do it? You're going to have your cell phones, obviously. We should see if we could call you in the middle of the Atlantic and
you know,
give us an
we will
update.
Have, that's one of the things that we'll have access to, is we'll use a sat phone, especially when we're about 1,000 miles into the North Atlantic. And so we'll be using satellite. And so, yes, absolutely.
So for someone who's just tuning in, just kind of recap before we take a break in terms of when this begins, when it ends, and you're in like 2 minutes or less, which I know you can do,
sure.
What you're hoping to gain by this in terms of awareness for Our Lady of Fatima.
Absolutely. The row, we're hoping to put the boat in the water June 6th, and we're going to leave from New York, and we're going to go 3,000 miles across the North Atlantic to Galway, hopefully arriving Galway in early to mid-August. And throughout this row, what we would like to do, two things. One is promoting the message of Fatima as God's peace plan for the world. And the second thing is to unite Catholics in prayer. And we love to do a 54-day novena while we're out at sea. And so we're all praying together. And you could track our progress with a little red dot on the Internet, seeing where we're at in the ocean. So this will be really an act of prayer. And if you study all the history of the Catholic faith, and whenever in the spiritual battle we're having to engage in battle and confrontations, it's always the rosary that is the weapon that's used. So
this is so neat. I'm so grateful for Tom for telling me about this story. We're going to have you back on as we get closer for encouragement. Let's take a quick break, Greg, and then we'll be right back to wrap up and give folks a website and how they can help and how they can follow this story. We're chatting with Greg Doherty, who's doing something very wonderful, very unusual, to say the least, to raise awareness for world peace and Our Lady of Fatima. And Greg is a president of the Covenant Diocese, a chapter of the Blue Army. If we have time to take your calls, we'll try. But we're definitely going to have him on again because this is really, really neat. 877-573-7825. It is a Tuesday morning. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. We'll be right back.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Would you like to strengthen your spiritual life? The Secular Order of Discalced Carmelites may be for you. The spiritual benefits are very rewarding. The order meets the fourth Sunday of each month at St. Hubert's in Harrison Township. You're invited to an inquiry meeting called Come and See at the St. Hubert's Activity Center Library on May 21st at 12:30 p.m. For further information, please call 586-764-5128. That's 586-764-5128.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives. Smart investing and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
The faculty and staff of Father Gabriel Richard High School congratulate the graduating class of 2017. It was an honor and privilege to serve you, teach you, and learn from you. As you move forward, remember these words of St. John Paul II. The future is in your hearts and in your hands. God is entrusting to you the task, at once difficult and uplifting, of working with him in the building of the civilization of love.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
That was Roy Scheider, the famous line from Jaws, "You're going to need a bigger boat." Wow. This is so incredible. Greg Doherty with us, and he is, of course, president of the Covenant Diocese chapter of the Blue Army, and we were just chatting about this during the break. Okay, we have about 5 minutes left, a couple of other questions. In terms of protection, you said there is a cabin on the boat, but that these boats are designed to handle storms, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, there were two young men from the UK, they're exchange students, brothers, that were in doing the same route a few years ago, and they got caught in Hurricane Katrina. And they weathered it, and they were 80-foot seas, and the boat, they had the sea anchor, and they hunkered down in the cabin, and the boat went through those huge waves like a torpedo, and they survived. And so these boats are meant to withstand that sort of thing. And we're in a really heavy-duty ocean rowboat, if you want to call it that, because it was built to cross, go into the Arctic and do the Northwest Passage.
Well, I was mentioning toward the end of the break that my father was a merchant marine, and he sailed on the SS United States, which, of course, still has, I think, the fastest Atlantic crossing. But back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He was one of the mechanical engineers, and he always told me, as advanced and state-of-the-art as that boat was at the time, that when a storm hit on the Atlantic, and he'd go back and forth from Ireland all the time and other places, he said you felt like a toy boat in a bathtub.
That's right. Yes. Even more so in an ocean rowboat.
So are you fearful at all, I have to ask?
Well, no, I have a healthy respect for the North Atlantic, without question. In fact, I had mentioned I was in an ocean rowboat in 2008. I experienced the tail effects of Hurricane Bertha at that time, so we had some pretty big seas. But I was in the hand of God, and I would not do this if I did not feel that the Holy Spirit was leading this. And so when we get out to lift Our Lady up to the world, I mean, I really feel protected, and so in that way, I have a healthy respect, but there's not a fear for that. But, you know, my fear is that we don't get the support for it, and that and Catholics don't, you know, really engage boldly to, you know, take on and share in this mission to lift Our Lady up to the world.
When you are out there on the water, I know this is how I feel. I was born on the coast of Jersey City, and then raised here in Michigan. And of course, the Great Lakes are like little oceans, and so I love the water, and that's where I feel most peaceful. You look out, and if you don't believe in God,
oh yes,
I mean, right?
Right. Yes. In fact, in that little bit of work that I, you know, shared with you before, and when I was doing prison ministry, there's a poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson called "Crossing the Bar," and he's setting out into the ocean. That's exactly what he sees. You know, he's going out to see God, but you know, there is Sylvia Plath who wrote a poem called "Blackberry," and she looks out to the vast ocean and sees nothing. And so there are those who don't see that, and unfortunately, Sylvia Plath, I mean, it is dark. She ended up committing suicide.
Yeah, a very sad story.
Yeah, very sad story. It's tragic. Yeah. But, you know, it's fitting that we're talking about that, because this is what this mission is, and it's the state of the church in Ireland. It was on my heart to go to Ireland, but the state of the church is really under attack. And I was just there, after training in the UK, I spent time for our arrival into Galway. And I was really amazed that so many have fallen away from the church and that the media there is 100% every day against the church. It's outright. It's overt, the attacks. And it's actually
that sounds familiar.
It does. But here we kind of have a little bit of a balance. But
well,
there,
we do because we have Catholic radio and we have
right.
at least some conservative outlets. But, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Greg, we're out of time, so I want to give folks the information on how they can help, and we have to have you back on as we get closer and before you leave, we get step into the boat and to sail off or to row off, I should say.
Sure.
How can people help?
Yes, we need it badly because we need to secure the boat. I'd like to get it this week. If we're going to do this mission, the window is very small for us to do it and get the boat June 6th, D-Day, to leave from New York. So, again, that website to go, and I pray that we can get 4,000 Catholics maybe to throw in 10 bucks for this, but it's crowdrise.com/rowing-4-Fatima.
What a great witness opportunity this is for us to be able to help you. crowdrise.com/rowing-4-Fatima. And we'll put this on my archive section. I'll also have my peeps post it on my Facebook page as well so they can get more information. This is a great story. And, Greg, you stay strong and keep working out so you'll be ready for this. I know you're going to work out spiritually and you're already
right.
ready for it spiritually. And we'll talk to you soon. And I want you back on real soon, too, okay?
Oh, thank you, Teresa.
All right, God bless. Great catching up with you again. Great story, Rowing for Fatima. How cool is that? We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday with Joan Lewis and Dr. Gregory Popcheck. And you. We'll see you then. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, a Catholic healthcare ministry that provides an affordable Catholic healthcare option nationwide. We have come to a unique time in our history. Healthcare costs are rising, and our religious freedom is being challenged. CMF Curo empowers you to live the new evangelization in your healthcare. Visit our website for more information about CMF Curo. Go to cmfcuro.com. That's cmfcuro.com. Christian caring, Christian sharing.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you